Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
So let me just run this by and see if I'm thinking about this right. The reason we stopped it in the seventh before was to give our fans time to sober up and drive home safe, correct?
Correct, yes.
So now with a faster paced game and me just being a man of common sense, if the game is going to finish quicker, would we not move the beer sales back to the sixth inning to give our fans time to sober up and drive home?
Yeah, instead, it's going the other way.
Instead, we're going to the eighth, and now you're putting our fans and our family at risk driving home with people who have just drank beer 22 minutes ago.
All right, beer sales aren't boring. Neither is baseball. Baseball isn't boring. Beer sales aren't boring. You know who else isn't boring? Matt Strom. Matt Strom, always a great guest on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, and today's no exception. He dives into a lot of things, very opinionated and insightful about pitching, about rules, and about where some of these teams are going in terms of their beer sales, and really where some of these teams are going, why we bring this up, because it's stupid. He's right. It's dumb. It's unbelievable. You have some teams in MLB right now, some of the teams we know confirmed, who are selling beer through the eighth inning compared to the seventh inning, which was supposed to be something that was put in place to, so that people wouldn't drive home inebriated, all right? But as Strom points out, now it's going the other way. It should be going to the sixth inning because the games are faster. Right now, we have three teams, the Diamondbacks, Rangers, and Twins, who have confirmed that they are extending beer sales. We have some other teams who are thinking about it. So it is a topic that I did not really think about until Strom came on the podcast. And that's what we get. That's what we get when Matt comes on. We get some thoughts that we didn't think that we would really ruminate about. And not only in terms of beer sales, but in terms of rules, in terms of what pitchers are dealing with the new rules, in terms of how you go from reliever to starter. I don't know if you know this, Matt Strom has become a really, really good starter. So all of this, it's a great, great insight into a lot of things. You are never going to be short of on opinions when it comes to Matt Strom coming on our podcast. Never, never. A great guest, and we thank him for that. Before we get to Matt, just a couple things to pick through from last night. I don't know if you know this, the Rays are good. Science would suggest when you start out 12-0, that usually means you're pretty good. Now, the Rays beat the Red Sox. They're 12-0 to start the season. Only the 1982 Braves and 1987 Brewers can claim longer season-opening win streaks in MLB's modern era. So, there you go. I guess we're going to have to do another Rays podcast. We started the week with one. We're going to maybe do another one. We'll see how that goes. It is pretty incredible. Unbelievable. Speaking of incredible, how about Jarrett Kelenic's home run? 482-foot home run. All right. Here's some numbers for you, courtesy MLB.com. Was the second longest homer hit at Wrigley Field during the StatCast era. That goes from 2015 to the present, trailing only Wilson Contreras' 491-footer in Game 4 of the 2017 NLCS. Was the longest homer by a Mariner in the StatCast era, surpassing a friend of the program, Mike Zunino, who had 470-foot homer in 2017. Was the second longest homer of the season. Anyone guess or remember who had the longest one? Yes, that was Giancarlo Stanton, 485-foot. And it was one of 38 home runs in the StatCast era to travel at least 482 feet. I have never hit a 482-foot home run, so I would imagine that feels pretty good. So there you go. You know what else felt pretty good? Having a great podcast with Matt Strom always feels good. Subscribe, rate, review, listen. Go to the socials at BB Isn't Boring. Instagram, Twitter. By the book, A Damn Near Perfect Game. Still a lot of buzz. And we're going to go through the season. We're going to keep talking about it. Congratulations, by the way, to a friend of the book, Taj Bradley, who's in the book, who gives a quick insight in terms of how he fell in love with baseball. He had his major league debut for the Rays. So there you go. Congratulations to friend. I don't know what is that. Friend F-O, A Damn Near Perfect Game. There you go. Friend of the Damn Near Perfect Game book. So go buy the book. Go subscribe to the socials. Go listen. And also go buy the t-shirts. You go to the social. You can see everyone wearing the t-shirts. Michael Walker, Brandon Nimmo, Nick Martinez, everybody. So I just appreciate everybody who has jumped aboard this express. I truly do. And we're going to keep them coming. Tomorrow, Papa's back. Papa's back, ready to make you money. Betting isn't boring. Yep, betting is boring. We haven't talked to Pap in a while, but I can tell you, he is ready to roll, man. He has some advice. Who doesn't want to take advice from Jonathan Papelbon when it comes to betting? All right, here you go. Another great podcast, Matt Strom. When we want to talk to the hottest pitchers in baseball, they come to the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. And today, right now, as we sit here, Matt Strom. Front of the program. What's going on?
Not much. How you been?
Good. I've been really, really good, but not as good as you. Congratulations on everything. So we got some things to pick through since we last talked, last time we talked to the podcast, it was January. So there was obviously a lot going on since then.
Yeah.
You've actually got Phillies gear now. You probably, right? I mean, you wear, all you do is wear Phillies gear. You don't have to do the, I got the Padres gear. I got the Red Sox gear. All you have is Phillies gear.
Yep. Just it's a locker full of red.
There you go. So Matt, let's talk about pitching. Let's talk about the art of pitching.
Yeah.
Have you finally landed as a starting pitcher, do you think?
I'm a pitcher. I think I've shown everyone I can do it all. I want to pitch in whatever role is going to help that team. And I mean, right now we need a starter, and that's where they have me. And I mean, once Ranger or Painter or whoever gets healthy and is able to contribute, I'll do whatever role they need me to do. But I think I've proven to people that I can pitch in high leverage situations, and I can also start. I love pitching, and I just want to pitch.
That's a very good answer. I like that. But at the same time, it's like you're right. I mean, you've said it very well, that you've proven that you can do a lot of different things. That you can pitch in high leverage situations, you can start and everything else. But as we sit here, you have proven that you can be a starting pitcher, which is a thing, which is like, yeah. Not everybody can say that. Like, people can say, I want to be a starting pitcher, but because it's different, right? It's you have to get the in-between starts, the number of pitches that you have to throw, the game planning, all of that. It's different.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And, you know, that's what I've always said. I love both of them. That you can't replicate the adrenaline rush of that phone ringing in the bullpen when the bases are loaded and you got a 2-run lead. You just can't replicate that. But you also can't replicate, that towing the rubber and trying to stick it to guys 3 times through the lineup. that definitely is something that I crave, I guess, so to speak, from a competitive standpoint. Is, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's easy to get them out once, because I mean they are big league hitters, but it's a task to get them out 2 or 3 times, and that, you know, it feels good to hang your hat on it going home, knowing you got someone 2 or 3 times. And it's a long season, so I got a lot left to do, but I think, again, it just goes down. I think I've proven that I can do whatever a team needs me to do.
So, as you're right, it's a long season, but we deal in the here and the now. So, I mean, that's
you're only as good as your last.
Right. And we're only as good as our last podcast. I mean, that's how. And fortunately, every time you're on, we're really, really good. So when you're going through that, like for instance, your most recent start, when you're going through that, do you feel like, okay, you know what? I'm getting the hang of it, because there is a learning curve, there is a process, it is different, you know, in terms of not having the adrenaline of having the phone ring and having to get 3 guys and calling it a day. As you're going through that start, do you figure like, hey, you know what? All right, I can maneuver this. I can live this sort of life as a starter and manage it.
Yeah, I mean. No doubt. I think I work better when I'm not thinking, so I try not to stress about it. And something I learned back in 2019 when I was a starter, I started off real slow, and I was overthinking things, trying to figure out how to maneuver myself through the lineup. But you can't get through the lineup until you get the first guy. Mm. And then you can't get to the third guy until you get the second guy. So for me, it's just eliminating the thought of what's ahead and just take care of the now. And then it'll all kind of fall into place. Us as pitchers, we look too much into scouting reports. I've always had the feeling that they should be scouting me. I don't really need to scout them. I'm going to fight fire with fire anyways. If they hit fastballs in, I throw fastballs in. That's my bread and butter, is getting in under the hands, whether you're left or right-handed. So, you know, it's no secret. I've said it. And I'm going to pitch the way Matt Strom pitches. I'm not going to pitch to how, I don't know, Aaron Judge swings, you know? It's just not how I compete as a competitor. And I think my best pitch is the one with the most conviction behind it in that spot. So it's whatever is giving me that tingly feeling is what I'm going to throw.
By the way, I love that, because I've seen more pitchers get in trouble trying to do the exact opposite, which is, go ahead.
Yeah, and that's, again, that goes back to 2019. I was, like, as a starter, I felt like I was looking at the scouting reports way too much. And when you dig into those analytics and you start looking at all the heat maps and all this stuff, it's like, dang, every hitter looks like Babe Ruth, and my room for error is minimal. So, you know, I kind of got away from looking at all that stuff. I have my few tidbits that I like. I like to know how aggressive they are early in counts. I like to know what they chase up or down. And then, you know, it's what I can use to get back into counts. So that's just kind of what I focus on. And again, just whatever pitch has the most conviction, that's the one I'm going with.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because it's two different things. It's the list, going through the scouting report for that game, and then it's baseball. Like, I without mentioning names, I've seen pitchers be told, well, this isn't how baseball's going. In other words, back a few years ago, oh, you can't throw a two-seamer, everybody throwing four-seamers, you know,
right.
You got to have a sleeper of a slider. You can't have a slider that has, or you can't throw a forkball because, oh, it's going to hurt your, you know, there's a lot of I can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, because this is how baseball is. But if you do something well, why don't you just keep doing it?
Exactly. And to go off that, I can't, I always, whenever I'm talking to a teammate or something and they say, I can't, I say, you can't or you won't.
Hmm.
because there's a big difference of you can't and won't, because I'm not a huge fan of the word can't. I'll figure it out one way or another.
Yeah, well, you did, and so when you go into these starts, like you said, you've had the experience of, okay, you know, I'm not going to have this tidal wave of information paralyze me. I'm going to go in, I'm going to rely, I know what I want to do. Do you let the catcher call the game? Do you, I don't even know, are you using the reverse pitch comm thing? Like, how does that work?
No, I mean, I rely heavy on my catchers, but, I communicate with them from the get-go of spring, like, hey, this is what I like to do. I always tell them, when in doubt, if you don't know, just fastball in. Like, if you're questioning what you want to do, I want to throw a fastball in. So, I think in my, I don't know, my 10 innings this year, I think I've shook off once, and it was just because I felt like throwing a heater. That was it. There was no rhyme or reason of why I wanted to throw a heater other than I just wanted to. And so otherwise, I mean, I've relied on Stubby quite a bit, and, it's worked out great.
So along those lines, you know, you're our rules expert, you're our guy. You're first of all, congratulations on being a published author. I gotta get you your book. A member of the family in A Damn Near Perfect Game, the book. But and the reason why you're in that book, honestly, Matt, is like you're great to talk to about the state of baseball. Like the whole book is about, that's what it's about. And you're great to talk. And we've talked about when the news came down, the rules are changing, so forth and so on. And I've checked in with you different times, so now as we sit here, I have to check in with you again. So what's your take on how everything's unfolding?
As far as the shift and the bases, I mean, I'm all for it. I love action in baseball. Baseball is a beautiful game where it starts and stops with the pitcher. And the clock, again, it's here to stay. It is what it is. I'll adapt to it. But as a fan of baseball, I don't like it. And even as a player, I mean, it feels like we're playing more so basketball than baseball. You know, it's just constant up and down. You see these outfielders when they're going to have to lead off an inning, it's a straight sprint in from left or right field for them to get to the on deck circle. And most of them aren't even getting a practice swing before they have to get in the box. But, the thing with the clock that I think is going to, that worries me the most is injuries for players. This is a max effort sport is what it's turned into. And, you know, when you're doing max effort stuff, your recovery time is important. And now we got a clock on it. So, I don't know. I'm kind of worried for July and August to see if the injuries pile up on pitchers with this clock. But, again, it is what it is, and we'll make do with it. But for a baseball fan, at least in my opinion, it's not the right way to go about it, but.
You always bring up points which I honestly either haven't thought about or haven't thought about enough, and sort of the injuries and the rushing of the game. And, you know, you mentioned warming up, for instance. I talked to Kenley Jansen about this, about he was obviously the slowest pitcher in the game, and now he's had to adjust. And one of the things he's done in adjusting is throwing a ton of pitches in the bullpen and then basically throwing three when you get out there. Little things like that. And by the way, like in Philadelphia, the bullpen is, you know, far away.
A mile away.
Right. I should have asked, you know, and we were talking about that. Does that factor in at all? I mean, I know that, you know, you're starting now, but...
Yeah, no, I mean, I've seen some of our relievers come out of the bullpen, and then the umpire will stop them behind second base to check them, and that's when the clock is supposed to stop. But, I mean, the inning's over. So it used to be, like, once the reliever got onto the warning track, the clock started. But now it's as soon as that third out is made, the clock starts in between innings. So some relievers, like Kenley said, he's throwing more pitches in the bullpen. Some relievers will stand there and throw a couple, and then by the time they get out, it's like a minute once they get to the mound, and then they almost feel rushed. But, you know, again, it's the pace of play. The other thing here, this has been on my mind lately, ever since seeing the teams are now extending beer sales into the eighth inning. Have you seen that?
No. So I've been wondering about that, but I have not seen that.
So let me just run this by and see if I'm thinking about this right. The reason we stopped it in the seventh before was to give our fans time to sober up and drive home safe, correct?
Correct, yes.
So now with a faster-paced game and me just being a man of common sense, if the game is going to finish quicker, would we not move the beer sales back to the sixth inning to give our fans time to sober up and drive home?
Yeah, instead, it's going the other way.
Instead, we're going to the eighth, and now you're putting our fans and our family at risk driving home with people who have just drank beer 22 minutes ago.
Do you know what teams are doing this? I can do a quick Google of it, but I was actually thinking about that. We've talked about that because, like you said, I mean, it's all of a sudden this is one of the reasons why we always thought with baseball would be hesitant to do anything because of money. Money. And so obviously what they're doing now is like, okay, you know what? We know we're going to be making less money, so we're going to extend it to the eighth. Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised, Matt, but You're
not surprised either. When you mess with billionaires' dollars, they find a way to make their dollars back.
Yeah.
But my thing is, when you're looking at the safety of your fans, that's probably not the smartest decision to extend it into the eighth. And again, just being a common sense thinker, I think as a fan of the game and as just looking out for people, it would make more sense that you stop the sales in the sixth.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Everyone will immediately focus on the eighth, but you bring up the other good point, is that, you know, it's going to be quicker, so we got to, like, go the other way for an inning. That's true, exactly. Man. There's a lot of stuff that – and I've talked to a bunch of people in spring training about this, and Rich Hill came on, and he thought that there was going to be changes, and there were a few changes. But we can't just be so stubborn that we're not, like, looking at things like that or looking at common sense things and saying, hey, you know what? We thought we had it right, but maybe we didn't.
Right, exactly. And, no one ever wants to admit they're wrong, which I think is a problem in itself for our society. But, you know, it's, again, it is what it is. We have to deal with what we're given, but just using common sense – we stopped it in the seventh for safety of fans and people getting home. Like, it makes no sense to me that you are going to allow it to the eighth inning.
Mm. It's true. Going back to the pitching side of it, what for you, what has been when you're out there? Like, one of the things, Matt, that I have noticed, and maybe I'm wrong, is that I would love to see the success of pitchers with guys on. I've seen a lot of pitchers be able to manage the clock with nobody on, but when you've got a guy on, now you're thinking about seemingly a million different things. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong, but I think too with the pitch clock, it may look like we have a lot of things to worry about, but I mean, you don't see the cat and mouse game between pitcher and base runner anymore because it's on the clock.
Mm.
So the beautiful part about baseball to me has always been the games inside the game. You have pitchers that will, Nestor. I mean, he's a magician with timing and all that stuff, and it's a beautiful part of the game that now we just eliminate. And it's like, and then too, with the holds and the base runner, the cat mouse game between the base runner and the pitcher, the holds, the slide steps, all that, it's kind of going out the window, and we're playing speedball almost. Just let's go.
Well, and also the base runners are timing it up. I mean, this isn't complicated. It's
no, and by June and July, I mean, all these analytic heavy teams are going to have, hey, Matt Strom throws 85% of his pitches out of the stretch between second three and four. So once that four goes to three, start creeping and go. Like, you're gonna see that stuff. And again, it's you put a starting light or a whatever. You gave them a sign
right.
on the field to look at, and it's gonna make it easier to steal bases. And I mean, you're gonna. I still, back to common sense. I don't understand how you want more action, more runs, and shorter games.
Yeah,
just sounds oxymoron to me.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us, that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.
What's the vibe amongst the players?
I would say the vibe is, it is what it is. We don't really like it, but we got to deal with it.
Mm. Yeah. And that's the thing, is that it's all, listen, I mean, I get it. I get like the sense of urgency. And I think most people like senses of urgency for the most part, whatever. But to come back to what you said, we can't be stubborn about this stuff. There are some very obvious things. Like, for instance, we talked about, I think in spring training, I was talking to Rich about this, about the first and third thing. You know, okay, well, you know, pick off twice. Third time, guy goes back to first, it's a balk, you get home. You know, that doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
No.
It doesn't. I mean, having a competitive outcome from a non-competitive action doesn't make sense.
Yeah. No, that's true. Did the commission come through your team?
Not that I've seen.
Okay. All right. I didn't know. I know that he ran through. I know that Joe had chased him down in the parking lot with a book. Said, look at Matt Straub's chapter. Let's go.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't be invited to that meeting.
No, you will. You should be. I mean, this is what it's all about. You know?
Yep.
So this last thing, and I appreciate your time, because I know that you've been a very busy day. In terms of integrating yourself into a new team, and does it, as you sit here, like, you know, it's all, you've been to a couple different new teams before, but what's the, and every team's different, every clubhouse different, a lot of times year to year, the same team, the clubhouse is different. How does it feel for you right now? And I'm not just saying it has to be like, oh, it's so good, or oh, it's so bad,
right.
But what's the feel for it?
No, I mean, I've meshed well here with all these guys. You know, I've said it before that I feel like we have a locker room full of dirtbags, which is exactly what I fit into. And, you know, I felt the same way in Boston last year with, you know, it's a bunch of hard-nosed guys that have one thing on their mind, and that's winning every night. And, you know, it's a great group. And obviously with the success the Phillies had last year, it's real exciting to see what we can do this year.
It's going to be good. Have you seen Brandon Marsh wear his Baseball Isn't Boring t-shirt?
Oh yeah, he's been rocking it here and there, but he's got to cut the sleeves off it to wear it more, because he's a big sleeveless guy.
Oh, he is. Okay, I don't know. Well, I mean, everybody knows the t-shirts accentuate the triceps the best of any t-shirt. So,
oh yeah, no doubt.
Yeah,
hug him good.
Yeah. All right, Matt. Hey, listen, you're awesome to be coming on. Always great to talk with you, and you are officially the best pitcher in baseball, as far as I can tell right now. So
I appreciate it. I appreciate it.